This evening, today is the full moon day of Posong. This, according to Sri Lankan history of Buddhism, it was on a full moon day like this that Venerable Mahinda brought Buddhism to Sri Lanka from India in the 3rd century BC. And therefore, this day is very highly regarded in Sri Lanka. They celebrate this day in Sri Lanka. Today, here, we had our regular full moon day activities. One of them is giving a short Dhamma talk in the evening. At the beginning of this, just few minutes ago, I recited one stanza. I'm going to explain the meaning of this stanza as a theme of my talk this evening. The stanza is, the meaning of the stanza is Namang sabbang anvabhavi. Name dominates everything. Nama bhiyo navijyati. There is nothing greater than name. Namasya ekadhammasya sabbeva vasamannagu. All beings are subject to name. All beings are subject to name. This is a very, very profound statement that Buddha has made in Samyutta Nikaya in the first chapter called Sagathaka Vagga. Reason why I want to mention this stanza and explain the meaning of it is for the benefit of meditators. As meditators, one of the things that we are supposed to do is to divide our entire body and mind into two categories called name and form, nama and rupa. This is very popular traditional way of practicing vipassana meditation. This, of course, is not mentioned in any original text, but this tradition began in commentarial and Abhidhamma text, which are later addition to the Buddha's teaching. Original text are Dhamma Vinaya. In Dhamma, where meditation practice is given in many different, many sutras. Buddha has mentioned name and form in Paticca Samuppada, the dependent origination, briefly. But Buddha has not explained them in great detail as we find it today in commentaries and Abhidhamma texts. Meditators are supposed to focus their mind on name and form, nama rupa. It is called nama rupa paricheda, analytical, critical way of looking at name and form. This, of course, is nothing wrong with that. That's a very profound teaching. But, of course, ordinary meditators don't know how to use name and form as an object of meditation. what do we mean by name and form, and how we use name and form as objects of meditation. It has become even more difficult when you can use the words name and form, words we can use, but seeing them in meditation to make some sense, to gain some insight, wisdom, understanding, concentration, seems to be extremely difficult for average person who has not studied Abhidhamma. How many of you learn Abhidhamma before you start meditation? Maybe none. Little bit. But that little bit is not enough to understand this particular technique. I'm not going to explain it in that detail, but I simply want to scratch the surface of these two words to at least to remove or open your mind to look at these two words in a different way. Name is called, they call mind. Form is called body. Pay attention to mind and body. How can we pay attention to name? Name is an impediment. It is a stumbling block. Name is a very a problem in our meditation. One can use names. One can say mind, 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 mind. One can look at the mental contents, repeating words and so forth. And the word name or nama has been explained and defined. When we try to understand the word, we must know the meaning. When we use it, when we try to meditate on this, we must know the meaning. It has been explained in commentaries and Abhidhamma, especially commentaries, as namang namana lakkhanam, meaning name is something that bends towards the object. What is bending towards the object? How can we use something bending towards the object as an object of meditation? What does it mean? Does it mean anything? Bending, like bending a branch of a tree, no, when wind blows? Or bending, you are bending down to pick up something? What does it mean to be bending? Because the word name appeared to these commentators very simple. They don't want to make things simple. They want to make things look very complicated, very profound, thinking that there must be some hidden deep meaning of the word name. But as soon as you hear the word name, nama, this is the one of the first questions, or one of the 10 questions that Buddha asked Sopaka. He asked, what is one? Eka nama king. What is two? Dve nama king. What is three? Tini nama king. And so forth. Buddha used the word, every time he asked the question, he asked, what is one, what is two, what is three, what is four, and so forth. He used the word nama. This little seven-year-old novice had never studied Abhidhamma. But he gave perfect answer to each question. When Buddha asked, what is two? Namancha rupancha. Name and form. Friends, we understand, identify anything on earth or even beyond in the whole universe through names. Can you think of anything that doesn't have a name? Just think and ask yourself, do I know anything which doesn't have a name? No. Everything we know has a name. Whether it is philosophy or psychology or metaphysics or science or religion, or doesn't matter. Everything is built on names. If we do not know the name, we call it nameless. In Pali it is called Anyatara, Anyataro Bhikkhu. The monk's name they don't know. They say Anyataro, once a certain monk. If they don't know the name, certain monk. So you make anything, think of anything, you give a name to that. You take a ball and give to a little toddler, not even a toddler, crawling little baby, just crawling. This baby picked it up, and first thing a baby would do, put it in his mouth, in his or her mouth. Try to see whether he can bite it. No. Press hard, then find it either hard or soft. Then throw it, and then it begins to roll. Then the baby thinks, this is a toy. Begins to play with the toy. Now, in this example, whatever Buddha mentioned as name, we can find. What do we find? Contact. This baby held it by his fingers, by hand, and when the fingers touch the ball, there's a contact. It is either soft or hard. Then the second contact is trying to put it in the mouth to bite. And then he cannot bite it, then baby drops it. Then perceive it. And the baby sees this rolling. Baby again perceive it. When this baby touch it, baby feels it. And then, baby does not know the name. But all the necessary things for a name are there. What is name? Contact, feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and attention. Passa, Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Manasikara. Contact, feeling, perceptions, thought, and attention. In Mahanidana Sutta, Buddha has mentioned these five in this way. Contact, Buddha said, Passa Samudaya Sabbe Dhamma. All mental phenomena begins to activate through contact. What is that? Vedana. Feeling. When you touch something, when something contacts you, you feel it. There are two types of contacts. One is called impingement contact, patika sampassa, and the other is called designation contact, adhivachana sampassa. Impingement contact is the contact that is made through our senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. Five senses. And the last contact is the mental contact is called adhivachana sampatta. Adhivachana means designation. Even when we touch something with our eyes, when eye and body and consciousness come together, contact arises. And that contact is done first through the eyes, then the second time with the mind. So each contact has two stages, sensory contact and mental contact. Therefore, each contact has two names, patika sampassa and adhivachana sampassa. Now, this child that got a ball and tried to the child touched it, tried to bite it, and dropped it, and let it fall, has all this contact, all the necessary things to make something a name, give a name. So when all this put together, we have an object. And we can give it a name. But can we know the object without a name? Can we know it? We can. Does this child know the name of this ball before he touched it? The child knew exactly when the child touched the ball. Child felt whether it is hard or soft. When the child tried to bite it, child knew that it cannot be bitten, this is not a food, it is not something edible. There is no name. But as the child grows up, child begins to build up all kind of names to identify the ball. Now, as an adult, we don't do those things. As soon as you hear the word ball, all these come to your mind. Shape, what you can do with that, and so forth. But you don't have the experience of ball. It comes from your contact. Therefore, name is something that we give to something to identify it, recognize it. Without that name, without that designation, without that label, we can understand it exactly as it is, just like this child understood hardness, softness of the ball, and that he cannot chew it, bite it, cannot eat it, and he knew that this can be used for playing and so forth, without any name. We are so obsessed with names. Because of our conditions, as grown-ups, we always look for name. If there is no name, nothing we can do. For example, in many places, many meditators teach people to use a name for action. When they say when you lift something, you must say lifting, 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 lifting. When you move something, you must move your body or leg. They say you must say moving, 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 moving. Can't you know lifting without the name? Do you need the name to identify, to understand, to feel, to perceive, to be aware of lifting without a name? You can. You don't need the name. When you move, can you move without a name? You can. Can you understand that you are moving without a name? You can. So, Pascha Samudaya Sabbe Dhamma, all mental phenomena necessary for our meditation practice, our experience, to see the very core practice of mindfulness, is there in our contact. The core message of mindfulness meditation is not the name, but full awareness of what really is happening. Name is not something happening. Name is what we use to designate something, to express something, to identify something, use a name. But we are so obsessed that without name we can do nothing. Therefore Buddha said, name dominates everything. This is a convention, this is a tradition, this is the way of conditioning that we all have gone through. I give you a few examples to make it more clear, and then come back to my theme. Have you ever seen longitude, latitude, international dateline? I was in Fiji once, and walking on a road, we were driving. On the right-hand side there was a sign saying yesterday. On the left-hand side there is a sign saying today, tomorrow. So you can see even yesterday and tomorrow on the board. Where is the international deadline? Is all in our mind. Where is longitude? I have traveled round the world so many times, I never saw longitude. Latitude. Can you see Sunday? Don't go to... Today is Friday. Can you see Friday? Can you see Friday? You cannot see. These are the names. The reason why I mention this is these are all concepts. that we use to express something, to measure something, to designate something, but they are not real. Real in conventional sense. Longitude is real in a geography, in the physical world, to designate a place in a map. To talk about that area, that particular place. If you go to that place to see longitude, you never find it. Nor can you find latitude. So, one day I was in New York, going in a car. There was a little child sitting at the back. Very, maybe 3-year-old little child. He was telling, "Daddy, I want to buy a second-hand car." Then I asked him, "What kind of second-hand car?" He said, "Second-hand car." Then I asked him again, "Do you know the name of second-hand car?" He said, "Second-hand car." In his mind, second-hand car is a name. So, adults give another synonym to that. They say used car. Child says second-hand car. Adult would say used car. It has become a name. Like in Aniruddha, that's a very famous story. Aniruddha was a prince. He was a spoiled boy. His mother kept cakes always for this boy. Whenever he asked for cakes, she would give him a cake. One day he was playing with children, and whenever he ran out of cake, he sent his messenger to the mother, asking the mother to send him some cake. So mother kept on sending him cakes. So finally she ran out of cake. When this boy sent the messenger to the mother to bring some cake, mother was so shocked. "How can I tell my child that there is no cake? I have never taught him the word no. How can you teach him today no? He doesn't understand." So anyway, he asked this boy to go back and tell the child, "Mother asked me to tell you that there is no cake." Then this boy said, "Then go and bring no cake." He thought no cake is another name. So when the boy went, mother was really very sorry for her son. So she got a dish, empty dish, and covered with another dish, and asked this boy to take it and give to her son, so that when he opens it, he can find nothing is inside, empty, to make him understand what no means. And it is said that on the way, this is a story, on the way, deities thought this boy has done so much merit in his previous life, we cannot let him down now. We cannot let him understand what no means. Therefore, they brought divine cake, put in the dish, and these boys brought it and showed to Aniruddha. Aniruddha opened it and found divine cake, much better than the mother's cake. Since then, this child began to ask mother, "Mother, make me no cake." Make me no cake. When we understand make me no cake means don't make cake. But in his mind, no cake is another kind of cake. I simply mention this for you to understand what name means. And Buddha was so precise, he knew how much we obsessed with names. We cannot do anything without names. Whereas in meditation, we can do everything without name. Just like this boy, little child, the little baby crawling, understood everything with the ball through passa. That is why passa samudaya sabbe dhamma, all everything that this child wanted to know, he knew through contact. Then vedana samosarana sabbe dhamma, all dhammas converge in feelings. Feeling is another name, another part of name, feeling. We all talk about feeling. Have you ever seen feeling? Can you tell somebody else your feeling? He sometimes say, Bhante, I have a headache, can I go and take some rest? I don't understand what it means. I say, okay, go and have a nap. I never felt it. You try to teach somebody how you feel, you can never do that. You can use thousands of words, write volumes of books to explain to somebody how you feel. Readers will never feel it. They can read words, they can understand something that you are telling, but they can. Women give birth to babies. They talk about labor pain. Have you ever understood labor pain? Can every woman understand labor pain? Women who have never delivered babies, even as she is a woman, if she has not delivered the baby, she never understands it. Only mothers, only women who deliver babies can understand what labor pain means. Not every woman can tell the labor pain is the same. Only one who experiences it knows what labor pain is. So, however, feeling converge all the dhammas. What are all the dhammas? Greed, clinging, craving, suffering, pleasure, joy, happiness, peace, tolerance, compassion, you can feel. These are dhammas. So, then, manasikara sambhava sabbe dhamma. When you manasikara is a very beautiful Pali word. Manasikara. Manasi means in the mind. Kara means doing. Making it happen in the mind. In a very simple English. Making things happening in the mind. Manasikara. Which simply means is only when you pay attention can you know something. Something knowable can be known only through paying attention. If you do not pay attention, you do not know. I may talk till my throat became taste of blood. You will never hear one word if you do not pay attention. You never understand one word that I say if you don't pay attention. Your body will be here, mind will be somewhere else, and you never know. So, the fourth is chetana. Chetana means thought, thinking. only you know your thought. I cannot know your thought. You may write, you may express in words, you may use words to express your thought. But what you think, you may not be able to put into words exactly as it happens in the mind. Only your mind knows it. You may use as clear words, you know, I have been writing. Every time I write something, I show it to somebody to see how I have written. The person comes up and asks me, Bhante, do you mean this? No, I said, I wrote it very clearly. I thought I expressed my words, my meaning, my thoughts clearly. The person asks me, Bhante, do you mean this? The person says something. Then I say, no, I mean this. The person corrects it and says, do you mean this? Because I have not expressed the thought exactly as I want to express. Nor the other person understand my thought as I express it. Therefore, thought is another name. Only one who has the thought knows it. Last is a perception. Passa, Vedana, Chetana, Manasikara, and Sanya. Sanya. Sanya means perception. Perception means identifying, recognizing something. You identify something in your own way. You recognize something in your own way. You cannot convey your recognition to me exactly as you are recognized. Therefore, all these are called names because only one who experiences these things can know them exactly as they are. When the person wants to tell somebody about them, the person uses names. These are simply names. But in meditation, how we use them, how we use these names, not through expression, not through telling somebody. Many people are trying to tell their meditation experience to others. They cannot do that. They experience. Each person experiences his or her own names. That means that person's contact, feelings, perceptions, thought, and attention. Only you know whether your attention is there or not. I don't know. You may say you pay attention, but I don't know. So what happens in meditation, especially in mindfulness meditation, we always try to see how these names, these what we call names, how my contact, my perceptions, my volitional formations, my feelings, and my attention, how they work. As we pay attention, if I pay attention, I know I am paying attention. If my attention is not there, then I know my attention is not there. So what the mindfulness meditator is supposed to do is to know the contact. And what the contact does after contacting? Feeling arises. When feeling arises, one knows the feeling exactly as it is. If the person is not mindful of the feeling, whether it is pleasant, unpleasant or neutral, if the person is not mindful of the feeling, then arises craving, rejection, anger, disappointment, all other emotional things arise. If the person only pays attention to the feeling and knows that this simply is a feeling, it doesn't matter what kind of feeling arises, pleasant, unpleasant or neutral, all are just feelings. The reason why we want to do that is to deepen our insight into what really feeling does if we are unmindful. As soon as we become unmindful of feelings, mind is filled with either greed or hatred, because every feeling has some kind of underlying tendency. Some pleasant feeling has underlying tendency of greed. Some pleasant feeling do not have underlying tendency of greed. Some unpleasant feeling has underlying tendency of hatred. Some unpleasant feeling do not have underlying tendency of hatred. Some neutral feeling has underlying tendency of confusion. Some neutral feeling do not have underlying tendency of confusion. For example, you remember something, then the mind contacts it. If the object happens to be a pleasant object, you like it. Say, very delicious, juicy piece of cake. As soon as this memory occurred in your mind, immediately desire arises. You want to eat the cake. You have remembered how cake tastes, and your mouth will water. You want to eat the cake. That is how the feeling of cake has the underlying tendency of greed. Feeling of cake is a pleasant feeling. And the underlying tendency of greed, the underlying tendency of that is greed. Another pleasant feeling arises, which does not have underlying tendency of greed. For example, you experience peace. You experience friendliness. You experience compassion. You gain deep concentration. These are feelings. In these feelings do not have underlying tendency of greed. So, if we simply become aware of the feeling exactly as it is, then there is no underlying tendency of greed, no underlying tendency of hatred. When something unpleasant you experience, you have the rejection, disappointment, annoyance, irritation, if it is unpleasant. But if we pay attention to the feeling and simply stay with the feeling and become aware of the feeling and know this feeling is impermanent, it is disappearing. These are not the words. We don't have to use words. Feeling is a name. But if we can use this name to see impermanence, the feeling we call feeling, contact we call contact, perception we call perception, perception, feeling, contact, all these are just the name we use to express something, express their nature. But when we pay mindful attention to them, they simply are other examples of impermanence. So, every experience we have, we can put into, we can name them if we want, and we call some name, to call them, give them some names, or we can simply pay attention to them without using any name to develop our insight. If we begin to name, we lose our insight, because we get carried away with names. That is a superficial way of looking at it. And we are thinking of how to express this, how to talk about it, how to tell others, how I experienced this and so forth. You go on thinking about it, not seeing it exactly as it is. And therefore, the way how to use name, nama, in vipassana meditation is not using the word nama, but using what this experience, this phenomena as they are. Feeling as feeling, that is why Sutta says, be mindful of the feeling as feelings. Don't use the name. Perception as perception, contact as contact, and so forth. Similarly, form, we recognize the form through its characteristics. Form means aggregates, what you call the elements. There are all kinds of elements, four primary elements, earth, water, air, fire, and their derivatives, Varna, Gandha, Rasa, Oja. Earth element we can experience by its hardness or softness. We can experience it without saying anything about earth element. Similarly, water element we experience without using any word of element. So, being able to identify material things and mental things, and seeing all of the, seeing their impermanent nature, is the way to practice vipassana meditation. So Buddha said, if we don't do that, sabbang namang sabbang anna bhavi, nama bhiyo bhavisati, namasa ekadhammasa sabbe vasamannagu. This statement is very true. That means, name dominates our mind. Everybody is subject to name. For them, there is nothing bigger than name. To explain this further, Buddha said, he used another synonyms for name. That is called akkara. Akkaya sanyino satta akkattasmin patitita akkeyan aparinyaya yoga mayanti machuno. Akkaya is inexhaustible. Names are inexhaustible, because there are, you can think trillions and trillions of names, that still there may be more names. So names are inexhaustible. Tasmin patittita. Individuals, human beings are established in names. Akkeyam aparinyaya, without understanding the purpose of names, yoga mayanti machuno, becomes entangled of mara, or mara, get caught in mara's net, mara's trap. Mara throw this trap to catch all of us and keep bound to samsara. So Buddha said, therefore, meditator should be able to distinguish the name as name, and what name represents as what name represents. Name represents the experience. Name is used to express the experience. But we hang on to names and forget what is underneath, behind, beyond names. Just remember, these are all designations, all are conventions, all are used only to communicate, just like longitude, latitude, and Sunday, Monday, you know, March, April, and so forth. All these are designations. Friends, this is a wonderful day to reflect on very profound Dhamma, because this is the day that this profound Dhamma established in Sri Lanka, which remains to be a seat of Buddhism up to this date. Sri Lanka spread Buddhism to other countries like Thailand, Burma, Laos, Cambodia, and so forth. Therefore, it is a very important day for us to reflect on Dhamma. That is why I thought of spending these few minutes. I did not plan to give a long talk, but it turned out to be a very important topic, so I spent these few minutes explaining Dhamma. We have all listened to Dhamma and gained some insight, some knowledge, and I hope we all reflected on the truth and reality. Thereby we call acquire merits. Merits means something that promote our peace and happiness. So that is what we have acquired. This moment it is very good for us to remember our loved ones who passed away, and we wish them, wherever they are reborn, we wish them to be free from suffering and experience peace and happiness, and finally may they liberate from samsaric suffering and attain final Nibbana.